one of our regular guests. It's Bert Breer. Hey, Bert.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's the deal? You're not showing up in person this week?
Yeah, I'm in Nashville, actually. So I physically could not get there this week, so I apologize for that.
Bert, what have you been doing? Are you on a great big training camp tour? Is that what's going on with you? I've seen you've been in a number of places.
Yeah, I think this is... I've seen 21 teams now, so yeah, this is sort of the end of it. Like, I think I'll probably go see like the Eagles and the Jets maybe next week, but this is pretty much the end of it.
What have you been able to retain mentally from all of these camps that you've seen? Anything stand out to you along the way?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have asked what the best team I've seen is, and I would say the most talented team I've seen, and I haven't seen the Eagles, but I see the most talented roster I've seen, probably the Vikings. I mean, if they can avoid getting hurt on the offensive and defensive lines, they look like they're loaded everywhere. And they're one of those teams that you look out in the field, you sort of see good players everywhere. And the Saints are sort of getting to that level, too, where, you know, all those second-year guys they have from last year, Alvin Kamara, Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Williams, Ryan Ramczyk, like, you can see the talent level there, too. So, I mean, that would stick out. And, you know, I mean, different teams doing different things. Every year this time of year, you see different innovations, you know, weird stuff. And one of them is, you know, the Rams, the Raiders, a few teams, the Browns, they all have, like, video screens that they're on their practice fields now. So guys are actually correcting stuff. Coaches are actually correcting stuff right there on the field. They're able to call up film on these screens. So that's some of the other stuff that you notice.
Bert, I just wanted to follow up from where we were last week and what we were talking about, and that was Tom Brady, you know, tweaking his contract and adding some incentives. You reported on what those incentives were, and one of the things you said you might try and figure out was how the conversation started and who was involved to get that contract to where it was and what's happened. Did you find that information out, and do you have any hints about it?
Yeah, I just looked at the structure of it. Now, I don't know this for sure, but it looks like Phil and Nick certainly had a hand in it. Because it is a contract that certainly seems to be taking precedent into account, and what it'll mean for the rest of the team. And I think it's interesting that they're going to make them really work for those incentives. Those aren't easy to reach, you know, and, when I was with you guys last week, I was told that they're very attainable. They are attainable, and he has gotten there. I think asking him to hit all five of them is a tall order. That's tough to do, you know, to be top five in five different categories like that. He did do it last year, but it won't be easy to get there again. And so that really stuck out to me, and I think that's an indication that, you know, football ops fingerprints are on this.
You mentioned it won't be easy for Brady to get to those incentives, Bert. I think one of the reasons for that is the wide receiving core. What have you heard around the rest of the league about the Patriots receiving core, how it's viewed, and have you heard them sniffing around any receivers like, say, a Dez Bryant to try and enhance what they have?
Well, I'll start with Dez. I don't think Dez is a great fit. I think two of his problems in Dallas were route running and his head for the game, his ability to digest information. And those are two things you really need in New England. So I'm not sure the fit would be there between Dez and the Patriots. You know, as for the way that they're viewed across the rest of the league, Chris, I think you know this. I've never sensed that the Patriots roster has wowed other teams. And, you know, I know other teams, fair or not, have felt for a long time that Brady and Belichick give them this huge advantage where there's just more margin for error. Certainly they've got some things to work out at receiver, but we've seen Brady kind of make up the difference in the past. 06 was a good example of it, of course, where they got to the AFC Championship game despite losing Deion Branch on the doorstep of the season and David Givens a few months before that. So, it feels to me at least like one of those years, and I know other people in the league who've observed them feel this way too, where, you know, Brady, when it comes to the skill positions, is going to help make up for the difference, you know? Being without Edelman the first 4 weeks, being without Brandon Cooks, there's certainly some jobs that are still up for grabs there. And I would say, you know, most people that I talk to in the league are skeptical that a Kenny Britt or an Eric Decker can be, you know, a huge impact player at this point.
We're talking with Bert Breer of the MMQB. joining us here on Patriots Preview. Big story league-wide this week, Bert, was Jalen Ramsey first getting suspended, and then his article in GQ. What's your take on all of it?
Well, I think that the suspension to me is, you know, I look at where the Jaguars are, and I talked to Doug Marrone about this actually right after that practice. You know, I think a piece of this is trying to reestablish what got them there last year. I mean, you guys remember, you know, the Jaguars were there where, you know, they did some, I guess, old school things is the right way to put it, like having guys do up downs during stretching. Having, you know, running gassers at the end of practice, all that different stuff. And I know one of the things Doug has done is he's tried to go back and do a lot of those things and make sure the players understand that that's what got them there. And I think a piece of this too is sort of keeping the team's ego in check. They've got a lot of really good players, a lot of highly paid players, a lot of highly drafted players. And I know Doug and other people in the organization have heard a lot of those guys chirp, and he doesn't want to kill their personalities. That's not what this is. I think he's done a good job embracing all of that. But I think he also wants to let those guys know there's a line. And some of that spilled over last Sunday, and I think it was more than just last Sunday. I think, you know, a lot of this goes to some of the chirping that Jalen Ramsey's done all season. I think part of this was an effort to keep one of the best players on the team in check. And in doing so, send a message to the rest of the players about what is and isn't out of bounds.
Bert, we just talked there, obviously, about Jalen Ramsey, and I sort of want to keep it here in the AFC South. What have you heard so far about Deshaun Watson? And he's supposed to make his preseason debut tonight. And obviously, Ramsey had some pretty high praise for Watson, saying he thinks he's a future MVP.
Well, you know, Bill O'Brien told me days ago that if you didn't know that Deshaun Watson tore his ACL and you went out and watched him, you wouldn't be able to tell. And when I watched him, no brace. He looks smooth in the way he's moving. He's accurate throwing the ball. It looks like every bit of Deshaun Watson. Now, you guys know that when a guy's coming back from an injury like this, there's the obvious step, you know, where you got to get used to having people around your legs, and you have to get used to live contact. And so there are still some steps to go. But he got injured pretty early in the season last year. Obviously, there have been advances in dealing with these sorts of injuries. And I know that the Texans are really happy with where Watson's at.
All right, Bert, appreciate your time. We'll be talking to you again soon.
All right, thanks, guys.